This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of the Lord. So this last week, I got to take a little post-Easter vacation with my family up on the North Shore, and I worked a bit on this sermon before I left, not wanting to have to do a lot of sermon writing while I was on break, and I thought I knew what I was going to talk about today. And then, of course, last Sunday, Kim Potter pulled over Dante Wright for expired tags and an air freshener hanging from the rearview mirror. And within minutes, he was dead. And it seems that every day this last week has brought new stories of danger, new stories of fear, new stories of violence here in the Twin Cities and across our nation. Even this morning, waking up to news of a mass shooting, another one, this week in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after shootings in Indianapolis, after the release of videos of police in Chicago shooting a 13-year-old boy with his hands up. News about other shootings around the country, a militarized Twin Cities that we return to. My thoughts about what I was going to say today went out the window. And to be honest, and speaking about these things, I don't really know what to make of it all. To make of all this yet again, it feels like we're stuck in this place of fear and terror and violence. Fear for all the members of our community. Violence that seems to not stop at the hands of police officers. Change that we hope for that doesn't come. Well, let's get down to the scriptures here. Our scripture this morning begins with the words, "While they were talking about this." While they were talking about this. What is this that they were talking about? What is this that these disciples and their companions were discussing? They were discussing everything that has been going on in the last week in their lives, just in the last few days even. They're discussing about how Jesus appeared to the disciples on the roadway, those who were going down and had to turn around and run all the way back those 7 miles to get back to tell the news about how Jesus was shown to them in the breaking of the bread. And when they get there, the disciples, the 11, and their companions are already talking about how Jesus has appeared, the risen Christ has appeared to Simon. And they're probably already also talking about what had happened just earlier that day, that morning, when the women had gone to the tomb and found it empty. And then coming and sharing that news, some of the disciples went out and found it empty, as they had said. And then their discussion probably turned to what had happened before that. The crucifixion, the trial, the arrest of Jesus, the mob that came in the night with their torches and their weapons to arrest them in that place of prayer. They were talking about these things. And I imagine they were also talking about these disciples, about how they had abandoned Jesus, how Peter had betrayed him 3 times, how none of them, though they had said they would stand with him even unto death, had really done so. They were talking about these things, and they were stuck in this place of fear and terror, stuck and not able to move on. And yet, as they were talking, Jesus himself stands among them, the subject of their conversation. The very central point, the central figure, shows up as they talk, as they discuss, and says to them these words, "Peace be with you." It's hard to find peace in such startling circumstances. It's hard to find peace when you're stuck in fear and terror. And maybe it was because they were so stuck in that mindset, they were kept discussing these things, that they were so startled, that this discomfort showed up right there. That what they were talking about is suddenly now here in front of them. Kind of like that feeling you get when you're talking about somebody and then that person just happens to walk into the room. Startled. Have my words been overheard? Have my words been what I would have wanted them to be if I had known that Jesus was standing right there? It's discomfort and terror. There's danger now. They're worried. What does this mean? And they thought that they were seeing a ghost. Their imaginations looked at this risen Christ and they saw a figure and a specter of death. They look at what they hope for. They look at the satisfaction of their hopes, the satisfaction of these stories that have been being told to them about how Jesus had appeared to the disciples on the roadway, about how Jesus had appeared to Simon, about this empty tomb. They're asking all these questions, and suddenly the answer to their questions is right in their midst, and the response is terror. But Jesus says to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Why are you afraid of what you hope for? Why are you afraid of me? You've already been afraid. Are you still afraid, my dear disciples? You've betrayed me, and yet I've come back to you. Why are you afraid at this forgiveness?" Maybe they didn't feel like they deserved it. Maybe they weren't prepared for it. It was such a surprise. Look at my hands and my feet, Jesus says. Look at me. See that it is me. I, myself, touch me and see. These words, touch me. Touch me. Make these disciples move beyond their minds. Because their minds are already trapped in that place of fear and terror. Their imaginations are already only capable of looking at their hope and seeing hopelessness. Looking at the answer and seeing death. Looking at the resurrected Christ and seeing a ghost. And so Jesus says, touch me. Don't see with your eyes, see with your bodies. See with your whole self. Touch me and see. Feel me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see that I have. This is something real. This is not just your imaginations. This is a real hope. A hope that you will be able to stake your lives on. A hope that you will feel. A promise that you can taste. Something you can really see. And Jesus shows them himself. Now, where is he pointing their attention? Where is he inviting them to touch and to see him? It's those scars, like Brittany mentioned. Those marks of death. His hands and his feet, those places, those very same places where he had been pierced. Those places where he had been pierced by the empire, by the tools of power, where the nails had been driven through his flesh, where he had cried out in pain. Jesus says, look straight at him. And the next response is joy. It's hard to see everything going on in our city and in our country and in our world, all of these places of pain, and to feel joy. And yet, it's there. Jesus invites us to look at the very point of pain. Maybe in inviting us to look at that very painful point, invites us to see also that that which pains us cannot kill us. That which terrifies us will not end us. That our imaginations of death are not the reality, because the reality is Christ, one who is truth itself. And that truth is a life that persists. And as they look, they feel that joy, but they don't believe it quite yet. They don't trust it quite yet. They still wonder still. And so Jesus says to them a little bit more. Have you got anything to eat? And when was the last time you were hungry? I mean, really, really hungry. Is that something that we experience all that often? I mean, you get hungry around breakfast time after you wake up. You get hungry around lunchtime after church is over and maybe your mouth salivates a bit for brunch. You get hungry around dinner time after a day. But these are hungers that just come in the course of our lives. Our bodies are attuned to these times to say, hey, you should eat now. But this is about real hunger. When was the last time you felt really hungry? Many of us are not familiar with that sensation. It is not a common part. The only way that I'm really familiar with it is it has to go back to voluntary hunger. In my previous churches, we would do sometimes this event called the 30-hour famine, where we would fast with the high school kids for 30 hours and learn about world hunger and experience that chosen hunger a bit just to get that sensation. But Jesus here is hungry. Jesus has spent this whole day walking with his two disciples down the road, walking and talking and explaining. He was getting to the end, and they had invited him in for dinner. And just as he broke the bread, well, he vanished from their sight. He didn't get to eat. Now he shows up, and now he's ready for a meal. Have you got anything here to eat? Must have been an odd question for this person who they thought was a ghost to ask. This hungry person? In this resurrected form, can Jesus even be hungry anymore? But he asks for food. He needs a little something. And what he needs, they have. In the entirety of this experience, Jesus shows up as the satisfaction of their hopes, as that which they are yearning for, as that which they are hoping for, dreaming of, and yet they fear it. And to get beyond that point of fear, Jesus says, "Have you anything here to eat?" The satisfaction needs to be satisfied. This visage of promise needs a little something from these disciples, and it's something that they have. As I think about this hungry God there with his disciples and how he shows them the truth of himself by being with them in a place that invites them to participate in that which they hope in, to share a bit of themselves with what they yearn for. And I think back to the events of this past week and the pain that we all feel over the death and violence that's in our country, and the strange mix of fear and hope about this coming week when there might be a verdict in this Derek Chauvin trial. And as we yearn and we hope for a place of promise, for a resurrected life, for the kingdom of God, that kingdom is as Jesus preached. It is at hand. It is in front of us. It is right here in our lives. It is as close as we could reach out and touch it. And yet, it's hard to believe it when we look around and we can see only death and feel only terror. But Jesus says that you have what I need. And so the kingdom of heaven has, we have what the kingdom of heaven needs. All we need to do is feed it. Feed that hope. Feed that hope by being that hope ourselves. Jesus speaks the final words to his disciples, saying that you are witnesses of these things. You have a role to play now. You are participants in what you have just seen today. Me, this resurrected being, me, this resurrected Christ, I'm going to be in you now. This kingdom that I talked about, this kingdom that I proclaimed, that kingdom is at hand in your hands now. And as he touches them, as he shares that peace transcends just that form of Christ and enters into those disciples. And so, the same is true for us. That world that we hope for, it is in our hands. It is entrusted to us. And yet it's hungry. That hope needs to be fed. Like a fire burning low, it needs a bit more fuel. Like a hungry belly, it needs a bit of sustenance. And the more we feed it, the more we'll find that we can trust it. The more we find that we can believe, the more we find that we can feel it and live it. and be it. Let us feed that resurrection this week. Let us feed that life of love and promise and hope and truth. And in feeding, let us find the truth of what we hope for, that it's here at hand. Amen.
Jesus is the Lord.